Good morning. It's 8 past the hour here at Faith Radio. All of us in the Christian community concerned about the attack on religious liberty in this country. Here to update us on some of the major religious liberty cases in the news, Jeremy Dice. He's senior counsel for the First Liberty Institute. Jeremy, good morning. Welcome back to Faith Radio.
Well, good morning. Thanks for having me again.
So I've been following the case of Coach Joe Kennedy from Bremerton, Washington. I've been completely stunned by the way he has been treated by the school district there. But for our Faith Radio listeners who are not familiar with Coach Kennedy's case, let's just tell the whole story. Start off by telling us about this man and his background.
Well, Coach Kennedy is a good man. He's a Marine Corps veteran. And when he got out of the Marine Corps, he was asked to consider coaching a high school football team. And before he did that, he decided that if he's going to do that every game, he's going to go to the middle of the field at the end of the game when his job is done and take a knee and offer a silent prayer of thanksgiving. And that's exactly what he did until somebody complimented the school district about it. And the school district took took it upon themselves to tell Coach Kennedy he had to stop doing this silent prayer to God by himself in the middle of the field. And if he didn't stop that, then he was going to be suspended, which he was suspended for praying by himself, taking a knee at center field. And then ultimately, he was fired. He was kicked off the team, not renewed for this season that we're currently in now in Bremerton, Washington. And so we have taken on Coach Kennedy's appeal, Coach Kennedy's case, because nobody should be fired from their job for simply taking a knee and praying.
And we should point out, he was not inviting his players to pray with him. He wasn't saying to the people in the stands, "Join me in prayer." It was simply a silent individual prayer in the field. So what was the argument from the Bremerton School District that somehow this was a public endorsement of religion because one guy went to the middle of the field and got down on a knee?
That's basically it. Look, there's a real bad strain of thought right now going around throughout the country that just because some form of religious speech, in this case a prayer, but because some form of religious speech takes place on state-owned property, the fact that it takes place on that property somehow converts it magically into the speech of the state, which requires it to be neutral. Well, that's just not true. Private speech is still private speech, and it is still protected by the Constitution of the United States. You know, for the person sitting on the top of the bleachers, Coach Kennedy didn't look like he was doing anything other than tying his shoe. But the school district there in Bremerton, Washington, made it very clear in at least one of their letters saying that, look, you cannot engage in any demonstrable forms of religious expression on school property. Well, think about how silly that is. That would mean that not only could Coach Kennedy not pray at center field, taking a knee in silent prayer, but it would mean that your chemistry teacher could not wear a crucifix around her neck, or your history teacher could not wear a yarmulke, or your English teacher could not wear a hijab. This is ludicrous, and it is certainly not the type of freedom that our founding fathers put into the Constitution. They forget that there are two clauses of the First Amendment, one that requires the state to be neutral towards religion. We call that the Establishment Clause. But there's a second clause that says that Congress shall make no law regarding the free exercise of religion, which permits private people, even on public properties, to be able to engage and exercise their faith.
Now, we take this to its logical conclusion. It would say you couldn't go to a public park and say grace before your barbecue, or you couldn't pray on a sidewalk outside a hospital for your dying uncle. I mean, that's public property, right?
Let me be even more silly about it, because this is, I know it's silly, but it is the logical conclusion of Bremerton's arguments here. If a student on campus of Bremerton High School sneezed and Coach Kennedy said, "God bless you," he could be fired for violating the Constitution.
Oh, my Lord.
I mean, that's how silly and ludicrous it is. And before you think that's too silly, I actually represented a young lady who was sent to the principal's office for saying, "God bless you," to a classmate. So, I mean, it's not beyond the realm of possibility that these kinds of things could happen, because people forget that freedom means freedom. It doesn't mean that the government gets to tell you where and when you can engage in your religious beliefs.
Now, I know as an attorney, you look at precedent, you look at case law. When we look back at other cases like this where someone has expressed private religious belief on a, you know, quote unquote, public property. How have the courts ruled?
Well, look, when people are willing to stand up for the religious liberty, more often than not, they're able to protect that religious liberty. Now, I'm not saying that Coach Kennedy's case is a slam dunk. There's all kinds of legal arguments that the other side can make here, and they can be persuasive at times. But I think if you look at the broad scope of where religious liberty law stands right now in this country, and especially where the free exercise clause stands in this country, and add to that the requirements that employers treat their employees with neutrality towards their religion and not make hiring and firing decisions based upon their religion, which they've done here, I think there's a really strong case that Coach Kennedy can bring and is bringing to the courts to decide. We hope that the courts will agree with us and put Coach Kennedy back in the game.
Well, we do, too. First Liberty is involved in another case involving prayer in a public place, but this one actually involves two Christian schools that wanted to pray before their football game. Tell us what happened to Cambridge Christian School in Florida.
Cambridge Christian is a small Christian school in Tampa, Florida. They earned the right to play in the championship game for the 2A division in Florida. They played another Christian school from across the state. And the game took place at what was called the Citrus Bowl. It's now a different name, but I think folks remember the name of the Citrus Bowl in Orlando. They get to play that final game. They've had a tradition since their founding, really, almost 50 years ago, that they open every one of their athletic conferences or contests with prayer over the loudspeaker prior to kickoff or the first pitch or tip, whatever the game is. And so that's what they did all season long, home and away. They opened up their games with prayer over the loudspeaker. And so when they're preparing for the state championship game, they asked the Florida High School Athletic Association, the state agency that governs high school sports there, if they could continue this tradition so that moms in the stands could unite with their sons on the field as they began this game. And this was a really important unifying action of the team and of the school itself. And the school district, or I'm sorry, the Athletic Association said no. This is state property, they said, and because it's state property and we're a state actor, that's off limits. We can't allow you to engage in religious speech on this state property. Well, again, this is the same problem we had with Coach Kennedy, right? It's state property, and if a religious speech takes place on state property, the Athletic Association argues that magically becomes the speech of the state, which has to be neutral, and you can't do that here. Well, that's wrong. In as much as they allowed advertisements over the public address system, they allowed the cheerleaders to use the PA system during halftime to do their routine at halftime. They're willing to allow that type of speech, but when it became private religious speech, that's where the Florida High School Athletic Association balked. That's wrong. It's unconstitutional. And we've now had to take the Florida High School Athletic Association to court to have the law applied to them.
What's interesting, too, is this is not a case where you might have had an atheist in the stands offended, because these were two Christian schools with Christian parents who specifically sent their kids to Christian schools with Christian athletes on the field. Who, I mean, maybe the maintenance guy there, you know, he's an agnostic. And so he would be
no one in the Western Hemisphere would have thought the two Christian schools saying a prayer before kickoff would somehow violate the Constitution. That clearly was not going to be the case. Look, all we are asking the court to do is to tell the Florida High School Athletic Association and the state of Florida that they have to remain neutral to private religious speech. I don't think that's too much to ask of the state of Florida to send that good message to all the student athletes across the state.
We're talking to our good friend Jeremy Dice from the First Liberty Institute about some of the religious liberty cases in the news. Coming up next, is it illegal to pray in your own home? Stick with us on Faith Radio. Good morning. This is the Faith Radio Network. It's 19 past the hour. I'm Bill Myers. So nice to have you with us today. Jeremy Dice is senior counsel with the First Liberty Institute, a Christian legal organization based in Texas, but working all across the country to protect our religious liberties. Jeremy, here's a provocative question for you. Do Americans have the right to pray in their own home?
Yes. Yes, they do. But Marianne Soss doesn't necessarily think that may be the case. Marianne was a young is a lady who lives in outside of Kansas City in government housing. And one night, late at night, the police showed up at her door, and she was reluctant to let them in. She's had some bad experiences late at night and lives by herself, so it was a little scary situation. But opens the door, talks to them through the screen, and they demand to be let in without telling her why they need to be coming in the house. She holds up the Constitution that she happened to have sitting right beside her front door there and said, look, I don't have to let you in without a warrant. They said, look, that's just a piece of paper. It doesn't apply here. And so they kind of talked their way into the house, spend a whole lot of time in there, really bullying around Marianne and really unfortunately doing that. And eventually they said, look, you got to get yourself ready. You're going to jail tonight. And they didn't tell her why. She became very scared and said, oh, my goodness, is it okay if I pray? And the officer said, yes, sure, whatever, go ahead. And so she hit her knees and started again in silent prayer. Another officer comes back in and says, what's she doing? She's praying. Get up. You can't pray here. You're going to jail. They mess around a little bit longer. Long story short, she didn't go to jail. She was cited for having her radio too loud. That's apparently why they were there in the first place. She takes this to court and asks the court to say, look, I'm entitled to be able to pray in my own home without these officers telling me not to pray. And what was really troubling to me here is that the court says, look, you may have been offended by the command to stop praying in your own home issued by two officers of the state of Kansas, but that doesn't mean that that's a substantial burden upon your free exercise of religion.
Oh, really?
Well, you know, if police officers telling someone not to pray in their own home doesn't amount to a substantial burden upon your free exercise, I don't know what does. And I'm shocked that a court would hold that, a federal court would hold that decision. So we've appealed that decision to the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals because no one should be told by a police officer that you can't pray peaceably in your own home.
It's a remarkable case, and we should point out, you know, this is one lady who was very frightened when these guys first came to her door. They didn't identify themselves as police officers. I guess, you know, again, you said she lives in government housing. She has been in the past a victim of sexual assault. This is a woman who, you know, all of a sudden there's a knock on the door late at night. If I remember correctly, she wasn't even sure who they were, so didn't answer the door the first time. And that was their big argument. They came back and said, well, you were hiding inside and didn't open the door when we first knocked, so you're coming to jail with us. You know, you've got a feel for this lady, given her background, and it certainly sounds like the police overstepped their bounds in a variety of ways here.
Yeah, they did, especially when they start with the notion of, hey, that's just a piece of paper referring to the Constitution. It doesn't apply here. Look, if the Constitution doesn't apply in our own home, I don't know where it does apply. And then further, when you get that question before a judge, a federal judge, a judge who presumably went to law school and reviewed the Constitution during law school, you would think that a court would understand that they can't just simply brush that aside as if the First Amendment is a piece of paper to be wadded up and tossed in the trash can. It's not. And for the court to conclude that, yeah, okay, sure, you were offended, but look, that's not really a substantial burden on your free exercise of religion. Oh, really? Two police officers with guns on their belt telling you that you can't pray in your own home? That's not a substantial burden of my free exercise of religion? It seems a little far-fetched to me, and I hope the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals agrees with us.
Well, I pray that's the case. Jeremy, we appreciate so much what you and your colleagues are doing at the First Liberty Institute. If one of our listeners has an issue come up where they believe their religious liberty has been compromised, jeopardized, threatened in some way, can they go to your website and seek help?
Yes, please do. Go to firstliberty.org, and you can certainly ask us if you think something has just gone wrong and you need a quick review, we'd be happy to look at that. Download our Religious Liberty Toolkit so you can kind of triage what's going on in your own situation and see if you need to give us a call. But if there's any question, go to firstliberty.org and let us know.
Jeremy Dice, thanks so much for your time and for all the great work that you are doing there at First Liberty Institute.
My pleasure. Thank you.